Praise God. Praise God for what he's up to and what he's doing in our church and our church community and what he's doing in each one of your lives, because he is active and he is moving right now. Whether you believe it, whether you feel it, whether you know it or not, God is moving in your life. And so we celebrate him just for that. Now, we are continuing our series called Vineyard Values, where we're examining the values of the vineyard. There are five values that hold all Vineyard churches together, and we've explored partnering with the Holy Spirit. We've explored engaging in worship and connecting with God, and we've talked about, what was the other one we talked about? Reconciling. How can we forget about reconciling all people to God and all creation? But today we want to take a moment to engage in compassionate ministry. So let me start by asking you this question. How many of you enjoy watching fail videos? Fail video? Look, younger folks, put their hand up right away. Fail videos. Let's just take a look at a couple of fail videos.
What are you waiting for? I missed it. Higher! A little higher!
Come on, you're almost there. You need to get a little closer.
Knows of any lawful impediment to this marriage, could they please declare it now?
Thanks for watching the best of AF.
All right, Alfonso, we don't need you back up there. But I like fail videos, but the ones that I dislike, the ones that I can't get myself to laugh at, are the ones where people get hurt. You know, when somebody falls down or gets hit or bit by a dog, and I don't know, all that kind of stuff just makes me cringe. And I was like, I can't understand how that's funny, because I know what it feels like to be hurt. I know what it feels like to get in a situation where you've been embarrassed in front of a crowd. I know what it feels like and what it looks like to be embarrassed on video. Please don't look up Gary blooper videos. I mean, I'm sure that they're out there, but it's embarrassing, it's hurtful, it's harmful. And when we, what that's called is empathy. When you can feel what the other person feels, when you can put yourself in the space where someone else is being harmed, and you can say, oh yeah, I know what that feels like, or you can put yourself in position, you say, yes, I feel what you feel. I'm sorry that you feel what you feel. That's called empathy. But Jesus is not calling us to be empathetic people. Say what? Jesus is calling his followers to be compassionate people. Compassion is a next level above empathy. Compassion is when you don't just feel what someone else feels, but you take a step to help that person. Here's the definition. Compassion is defined by Merriam-Webster as sympathetic consciousness of others' distress together with a desire to alleviate it. Compassion is one up on empathy. Compassion is also defined. I went back to the root of the word. It's a Middle English compound word from Anglo-French that's compati, two words. Pati meaning to suffer. Com meaning with, to suffer with, to get down with someone, to experience what they experience and to be so moved to do something about it. That's what the Greek word for compassion actually means. It means to be moved from one's bowels. Ooh. That's kind of gross, isn't it? To be moved from one's bowels back in that day meant to be moved so deeply from the inner parts, right? To be moved from my innards so deeply that I have to do something about this, that I cannot wait any longer, that I cannot sit on the sideline and allow this to happen, but I must involve myself. I must insert myself. That is compassion. And I thank God for what compassion actually is and what it means, because this is the vineyard value. The vineyard value is that we engage in compassionate ministry, meaning that this is our DNA. When we see people in need, when we see people harmed, when we see people on the sideline, when we see people marginalized, we step in and we do something, because that's what vineyard people do. I'm so glad to be a part of a theological family that believes the scripture, and not only believes it, but actually puts it into practice. Yeah. Actually does something about what Jesus has called us to do. It's about action and not just thought. It's about getting involved and getting in the situation and not just contemplating what the scriptures have to say. So, that is our vineyard value. And I love it because Jesus is actually a man of compassion. And Jesus not only is a man of compassion, but he calls us to replicate himself. He says he wants us to be compassionate. He says it very clearly. If you have a red letter Bible, it's written in red in Luke chapter 6, verse 36. He says, be compassionate just as your Father is compassionate. This isn't a condemnation from Jesus to tell us, oh, you need to be doing this. This is more of an invitation from Jesus to say that you should be more compassionate like me. Come on and let me guide you. Come and grow with me in your compassion. Today's text that we will focus on comes out of Matthew chapter 9. So if you have your Bibles, would you turn them on or open them up to Matthew 9? We'll be in the 9th chapter. We'll jump down to about the 35th verse. I'll be reading from the NIV. It says this: Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them, because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Holy Spirit, would you come? Would you have your way with these words in our lives? In Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus is starting his public ministry here. He's out and about. He's meeting people. He's connecting with people. He's spending time with people. He's getting to know people. And watch this. When he gets to know people, he starts to get to know what they stand in need of. You know, the closer you get to somebody, the more you see their flaws or their challenges or what they actually are in need of. And so Jesus gets close to people, he learns what they need, and he steps in, has compassion, and addresses people's needs. He says that the people he had compassion for were people, watch this in the text, the harassed and helpless, those who are like sheep without a shepherd. You see, back in that day, who were the harassed and the helpless? Who were the sheep without a shepherd? It was the people in this crowd. The people in this crowd were under the spiritual leadership of the legalistic Pharisees. These people who were to the letter, they dotted every T, They dotted every I, crossed every T in the law. They knew the Bible backwards and forward. They knew the law, and they would tell you how you were doing everything wrong, and they were doing everything right. And Jesus said, y'all are like your father, the devil. You can know all the Bible you want, which is a good thing, but if you don't love people, you're not following Jesus. And so he told those folks, they were under, this crowd was under the spiritual authority of the Pharisees, but they were also under the authority of Herod Antipas, king of that time, whose allegiance was to the Roman government or the Roman oppressors of that time. And so these people were the oppressed. These people were the marginalized. These people were the poor. These people were the sick. These people were the helpless and the hopeless of that day. And those are the people that Jesus has compassion for. Who in the Twin Cities could you identify as helpless and hopeless today? Who in your neighborhood could you identify as helpless and hopeless today? Who in your community, in your circles, is like a sheep without a shepherd, no leadership? They're following the wrong person. They're going down the wrong path. They're being led astray. In 2019, the U.S. Department of Education ranked Minnesota as the worst in the nation for racial disparities. 50th in a list of 50 states. In 2022, Wallet Hub placed the state, our great state, second worst in terms of racial equity in education. This comes from, this next quote comes from the Department of Education, Minnesota Department of Education's website. It says, only 5.9% of our teacher workforce identifies as teachers of color or American Indian teachers, whereas 36.7% of our students identify as students of color or American Indian students. We see some discrepancy here. We see part of our challenge. We see what's really going on, and I don't think it's really a mistake. Gary, this is the wrong day for me to come to church. This is overwhelming. I don't want to hear about this. I want to hear about, you know, Jesus going to pull me out of my situation. God is going to come through. He's going to pay that bill for me. He's going to buy me that car. Jesus is going to come through and pay my rent, right? Yeah. He calls us to be people of compassion. People who have compassion on the helpless and the hopeless. People who have compassion on those who are like sheep without a shepherd. You see, I believe that even if this feels overwhelming, even if you feel like you can't contribute to the solution, even if you feel like you don't have all the answers, I would just, argue with you a little bit. Because I believe that if you are a follower of Jesus, you actually do have the answers. You actually do have the solution. You have the way forward. The challenge is, are we going to apply it? You see, I believe that Jesus Christ gives us every solution that we need to live this life and to make transformation in this life and our surroundings in His Word. And I believe He doesn't just speak and didn't just speak 2,000 years ago, but He's active and present speaking to us right now. The question is, are you listening? Are you listening to what He's saying? When we take His word seriously, when we attempt to understand His word, when we apply that word to our lives and our current situation and surroundings, we will see the goodness of the Lord in our lifetime. We will see the transformation of our neighborhoods in our lifetime. We will see these statistics. We go from last to first in our lifetime. Listen, God is active. Are we going to be active with Him? See, you can make a difference with the Holy Spirit. I can make a difference with the Holy Spirit. But we collectively can make more than a difference. We can make change together. In unity and in love with the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit working with us, collectively God can manifest miracles. Jesus is calling us to be compassionate. So how does all of this work? What does compassion really do? Listen, if we are compassionate, if we have a deep feeling of what to address some of the issues going on, then we will get involved and God will come along and do the miraculous through us. I believe he wants to move through us collectively. But then how do we get to be compassionate? How do we become compassionate people just like Jesus so that he can step in and do the supernatural? I'm glad y'all asked that question because it's right here in the text. He says, how do you become a more compassionate person? Well, the first thing you need to do is to go see. Go see. You see, Jesus was traveling. He was doing his Jesus thing. He was out and about meeting people. But he came face to face with a group of oppressed people. And he sees through the crowd to see the people. He sees the whole person. He sees their struggle and their challenge. He sees where they are hurt and they are broken, but he also sees their value and their potential. When was the last time you went out to see oppressed people? When was the last time you opened your eyes and looked around to see who were the helpless and the hopeless? When was the last time you looked around to see who are those that are like sheep without a shepherd? When was the last time that you asked God, God, will you open my eyes so that I can see what you see, so I can see who you see? Holy Spirit, would you come? God, I ask you to address our eyesight. Even our mental picture, that we would have the vision, the eyes, the look through the lenses of the gospel to see people like you see. God, would you take the scales away from our eyes, the blurriness, the blinders that maybe we've built up over time? I pray that you peel those things away in the name of Jesus. Amen. Not only does Jesus invite us to go see people, but he also invites us or asks us to give ourselves margin. Give yourself margin. You see, Jesus didn't run around filling his schedule up with appointment after appointment after appointment and then exhausted because, oh my gosh, these people are all on my schedule. Jesus made margin. He knew he was going to encounter crowds. He knew he was going to encounter people. And so what? Sometimes he walked to where he was going to go. Sometimes he took a boat. Matter of fact, I was reading. I was like, oh my gosh, look at all the times Jesus got in a boat alone to travel to the other side. He's giving him some margin. He's giving himself some space because, let me tell you, working with people all day, you need some space. I'm not saying, you know, I love all y'all. I'm just saying, them other people. I'm not supposed to laugh on the microphone. I'm sorry. That's going to come all out in the recording. I apologize. Jesus gave him space. He would steal away and pray and get some time with his father before he went back in the game. All of us need to make some space in our lives. Without space, you can't see the miraculous hand of God moving. If you're always in a rush, always busy, always at appointment after appointment, and I got to get here and I got to get there, you'll never see God's goodness move through you. Some of you here today need to leave your house 15 to 30 minutes earlier than what you're leaving right now. Somebody here today needs to put 30 minutes of time between all of your appointments this week. Because when you make margin, God can interrupt you. See, some of us can't be interrupted. And God, when God interrupts you, like, God, don't you know I got a schedule? How you gonna show up right now? Put this person in my face right now. Matter of fact, when we're too busy, we don't even see what God has put in our way. It could be the blessing we've been praying for, but we keep on moving. We got to give ourselves margin so that we can be encountered. We can have an encounter with God. In 1973, there was a study conducted on seminary students. These seminary students were given the assignment to speak on Luke chapter 10, verse 30. Some of my Bible nerds know what that is. I'll tell you later. They were supposed to preach on Luke chapter 10, verse 30. And what the professor was trying to find out was if they would practice what they preach. And so the professor staged an actor to be in the path of the classroom. And the actor was disheveled, dressed like a homeless person would look, and leaning over a chair. The person could have been drunk or high or don't know what's going on with that person. But that person would always ask the student walking by, can you help me? And you know what the study found? That those people who were in a rush or were running late, only 10% of those people actually stopped to help the man. But all those people who gave themselves margin, gave themselves 15 to 30 minutes to get to where they needed to be, 63% of those people stopped to help that man. You see, the moral of the story, the lesson is that we are less compassionate when we were in a hurry. But we are more compassionate people, and we look more like Jesus when we carve out some time, when we give ourselves some margin. Margin that Jesus can step in and interrupt our schedule so that we can be a part of his solution in this world. In case you haven't looked it up yet, Luke chapter 10, verse 30 is on the Good Samaritan. That's the whole point of the story. We have to give ourselves margin. But Jesus doesn't only want to give us, he doesn't want us to just see the people. He doesn't just want us to have margin in our lives so that we can be interrupted by him, but he also wants us to get curious. You see, Jesus had an interest in the people. He learned more about the people. He got to know the people. That's how he was able to address their specific needs, because he got curious. Who are the harassed and the helpless around you? Who are the sheep without a shepherd? What are their true needs? How can they be healed or addressed holistically? Not just giving somebody a dollar, but what are their real needs that you could step in and help with? The only way you'll find out is if you get curious. If you're curious enough to ask questions, if you're curious enough to get proximate, to get close to the people who are actually in pain, people who are actually challenged, people who are actually hopeless and helpless. We have to get curious. Lakita and I got curious when we moved to the Twin Cities. We wanted to know more about this environment that we've been called to, right? We've been called to this place, to serve this place. Then we need to learn about this place, don't we? And so my wonderful wife found this nonprofit organization for us to get involved with and to learn more about the Northeast. It was a nonprofit called My Very Own Bed. And that nonprofit, what they do is they provide beds to children so that the children can have a place to sleep, a place to dream, and a place to recharge. That's the mission. Because you know, if a child doesn't have a place to sleep, they're not well rested. How can you expect a child to get straight A's if they can't even get a good night's sleep? How can we expect children to behave themselves as they should if they can't have a place to sleep? How can we expect children to grow up to be productive citizens in our society if they can't even get a sleep at age 5? There are plenty of, well, I'll say this. We partnered with that organization. We went and volunteered with that organization, and we did more than just pack some blankets and send them on the way. They invited us to go into people's homes. And we were able to go to different homes right here in Northeast Minneapolis to actually build the beds that they have in the kit. We built the beds and made the beds up and tucked in a little stuffed animal in every bed, right? But we were able to not only do that, but we were able to see true poverty. We were able to see the actual living conditions of those right here in Northeast Minneapolis. We were able to engage in conversation with some of these parents and these children. And let me tell you, some of these living conditions were the worst I've seen in this richest country in the world. There's no reason for this, the 15th largest GDP per capita, Minnesota, to have such distressing poverty right around the corner from us. Children who are sleeping on the floor. Children who are sleeping in a pile of blankets. Children who are sleeping on a cardboard box made into a mat. And this is the people we invested in for our future. That's the person that's going to operate on you when you get old. People need an investment. Listen, God wants us to make a difference. God was able to use us to deliver beds, which is just a small step to helping somebody with an actual need. Having a conversation with the kids and with the parents, letting them know that somebody actually cared, that somebody was actually praying for them, that's another small step in the right direction. Partnering with some of these parents and families, supporting them as they support their families, that would be another step in the right direction. Listen, you and I can make a difference, and together we can actually make change. And we can actually make sure that every child in the Twin Cities has a bed to sleep on. And that's why we partner with my very own bed. We can make sure that every child in the Twin Cities never goes hungry. And that's why we partner with Every Meal, to make sure that there is no such thing as childhood hunger right here in our backyard. That's why we partner with children of incarcerated caregivers, to make sure that those parents who are incarcerated have resources to bless their own kids who can't get anything because they don't have a parent working or in the house. That's why we partner with Kids in Need Foundation, to make sure there are no kids in the Twin Cities who don't have the school supplies that they need. That's why we partner with Northeast College Prep right around the corner, because we want every child, especially right here in the Northeast, to have a role model, to have a positive Christian role model that they can look up to. Somebody who can say, now that's a follower of Christ, not these people I see on TV. God's calling us to more. And all of these people, all of these organizations have asked, Gary, can you send more people? And guess what I told them? Yeah. So y'all got to step up and y'all got to have my back. So listen, If any of those organizations that I shouted out speak to you, or you want more information of how to get involved in one of them through us as a church, would you just write the name on your next step of your Connect card? We will get you more information. And if you didn't fill out a Connect card, there's also a sign-up sheet out there in the lobby in the cafe. We'd love for you to sign up for more information on how you can partner with these organizations. But before I let you go, before the worship team goes and sings their last set, I want to say that I am excited for what God is doing in our church and through our church. God is actually transforming lives, and people are choosing Jesus because of you and what you are doing here at Mercy Vineyard Church. That we care more about what's in the four walls, but we care about what's going on in our Twin Cities. But I don't want you to leave here and forget this, that God had compassion on you. That Jesus has compassion on you. That Jesus one day reached down to the depths of sin and grabbed you and pulled you up to where he was. That Jesus one day delivered you from your bondage or your problem or your challenge. Somebody in here has been pulled out of discouragement. Somebody here has been pulled out of despair. Somebody here has been pulled out of an abusive relationship. Somebody here has been pulled out of an abusive or sexual abusive situation. Somebody here has been pulled out of poverty. Somebody here's economic situation has changed miraculously. God has showed up for you in mighty, mighty ways, and he's just asking, will you show up for somebody else? Will you stand with me? The prayer teams, I invite you all to come up. But those of you here today, God is working on your heart. Not in condemnation, but as invitation. He wants to know, will you partner with me to see the goodness and the mercy and the miracles of God take place right here in our own backyard? Maybe you're here today and you're feeling convicted because you've intentionally distanced yourself from someone who needs help. Maybe you're here today and you're just being reminded. God just popped in your head that person that you walk by every day. But because they're there every day, they become invisible to you. I think God wants to peel the scales from eyes today. Maybe you're here today and you feel empty. Like, God, I need to be refilled. I can't think about, care about other people, God, but I need to be refilled. God says, I want you to experience my love and compassion today. I want to fill you up with my love and my compassion today so that you are overflowing and that there's no excuse that you can't pour out in somebody else's life. But you got to be willing to be filled. So I'm inviting you to come for prayer and to worship as the worship team sings. You can come up for prayer during the song. But I'm going to pray. I'm going to close. I'm going to invite you to pray. And you can take your Connect card and your offering, drop it in the basket on your way out. But before we go, let's look to the Lord. God, we're so grateful for your grace and your mercy. God, I'm grateful to be a part of a family that believes in putting into practice what you've said in your scriptures. God, would you move in a mighty and powerful way? Holy Spirit, would you come? Illuminate a name. Illuminate a face in our mind's eye right now. That we could be Jesus to them. As we leave this place today, God, let us not rush. Let us Make margin. Not to rush to the next thing, but allow you to interrupt us so we can see what you're up to. And we can not just see, but participate in what you're doing in this world, in the Twin Cities. May your kingdom come in the Twin Cities as it is in heaven. May transformation happen, God. May your spirit flow through us, your believers, to bring your goodness and mercy and love and grace and mercy and goodness and kindness to every person we encounter this week. Bless our families as we do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Blessings to you.